coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you will ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word.
You need to understand this thing.
And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm setting the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, word hearing.
This is the continuation of the message, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Well, Jesus didn't say, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Now you say, what's the difference between the two? I'll tell you. To set you free means you're bound. You're in chains. Or you're in prison. Legally or illegally. Now, you were set free. Not when you knew the truth. You were set free when Jesus died for you. That is the beginning. You haven't heard anything yet. Just listen. You were set free when Jesus died for you. Now, let me skip a portion of this thing and move to the next part. Then before I come back and pick you up, all right? Now, you were set free when Jesus died for you. Not when you knew the truth. When a man paid the price, you were set free. Now, whether or not you knew, you were still free. When the Emancipation Proclamation was made many years ago, you remember William Wilberforce? All right, slave trade? Great. When that Emancipation Proclamation was made, over in the West, there were still many slaves that didn't get to know about that proclamation. So they were still being held. But they were free. They had been legally declared free men. Now, here's another thing. A scientist did an experiment with an insect. He put an insect in a tube and then covered it. And that insect all the time was trying to escape and would jump and hit the lid and fall back and jump again and hit it and fall back. And then after a while, when the scientist noticed that the insect had become accustomed to hitting that thing and falling back, he took it off. He removed the cover. You know what the insect kept doing? Jumping and coming back. Jumping and coming back. As far as he was concerned, if that thing was there yesterday, it's still there today. And then he said, that's what the devil does with many Christians. You see, to be made free, you make yourself free. The prison door is open. You say, no, nobody goes out there. They'll kill you. Don't try. Hey, come out. I'm not coming out. Leave me here in the prison house. I'm okay. I've been here 5 years already. Hello. Read this paper. It says you're free. No. Somebody told me that last week. I almost tried it. I almost died. Has it been set free? Yes. But has it been made free? No. So, but if he takes that document, he says, that's my name right there. Boy, I'm a free man. Huh? He doesn't need anybody to walk him out. He can walk out the doors. That's the way you walk out of your sickness. That's the way you walk out of your disease. That's the way you walk out of your fears. That's the way you walk out of poverty. That's the way you walk out of failure. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. You still there? All right, let's take some more. You know God loves us? You believe He loves you? You sure? Somebody told you. Have you ever experienced the love of God? You know, sometimes we all feel something. Somebody said, oh Lord, just let me know you really love me. Woo-hoo. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. You don't know that God loves you because you failed something. Come on. It couldn't be greater than when He gave His Son Jesus. That's proof enough. He already proved His love. Somebody said, Lord, just perform this miracle so I know you really, really, really love me. That's a slap on the face of God. He already did for you the best that heaven could offer. Gave His Son. Doesn't that mean anything to you? It doesn't mean anything to you? Don't you know who Jesus is? John chapter 3 verse 16. You all know it. For God. Come on, give it to me. For God. No. Does it say, for God loved the world? For God so loved. So loved that He gave. He gave His Son not because He just wanted to save us, but because He so loved us. And it's got to become personal to you. Until it becomes personal to you, you cannot act on it. Now, let me show you something. Go back to that Ephesians chapter 3, where we're reading, verse 19. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Was that full stop? Full stop? What does it say? That she might. In other words, your experiential knowledge of the love of Christ. What do you mean experiential knowledge? It's not a feeling. It's a revelation. You see, it's participating in the divine revelation. When you come to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, human knowledge, mental knowledge. He says, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now the word fullness of God there, he's referring to a full capacity load. When the ship is loaded and you calculate for the sailors, for all the containers, everything on the ship, and then you write it and say, this is the full load. He said the ship has its full capacity. No more space for anything else. That's the term used here in the Greek language. To become filled with the full load of God. The full load of God. King James uses a well-stressed word. He says, with the fullness of God. Now, who is he talking about? Look at it. It's either the man knows what he's talking about or he's insane. Come on, you have to agree with one of them. Look at it. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that she might be filled with all the fullness of God. Nothing left out. To be filled with the fullness of God. That's God's dream for the believer. The man in Christ has to become filled with the fullness of God. When you are filled with the fullness of God, where does sickness come from? Where will disease find its root in your body? Where will discouragement come from? Somebody says, I'm so discouraged. Discouraged from what? The very thing that God required from Joshua in the Old Testament. He said, be strong and very courageous. He said, be not dismayed. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Because of what you will see. Don't be dismayed. Neither be thou afraid. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's not a promise. Jesus said, lo, I am with you. He didn't say, I will be with you. I will be with you is a promise. I am with you is a statement of fact. It's a present hour reality. I am with you always. Even unto the end of the age. I'm not alone. Jesus is with me. Oh, you know, somebody said, well, Pastor Chris, you must have really paid a lot of price for this kind of thing. When you're going for a meeting, how do you prepare? How does the presence of God come? Somebody said, well, I pray, oh God, if your presence doesn't go with me, don't send me. Are you Moses? Don't you know who you are? Do you know the difference between, you know, a lot of Christians are living the Old Testament life in New Testament times. Moses was in the presence of God. And he had the doxar of God, the glory of God rub off on him. When God spoke his words, as he gave the commandments, and Moses was listening to God, the word of God came as he meditated on the word, his outward figure was changed. Moses was listening until the light of God came on Moses. Then God said, go to your people now and give them the word. And Moses stepped down the mountain. When the people saw Moses, his face was beaming with the glory of God. They began to run backwards. Oh, no, no, no. And Moses said, what's the matter? The Bible says, Moses did not know that the light of God was on his face. In other words, he didn't feel anything. He didn't see anything. But those who were looking at him saw the glory of God on his face. And they began to run away. And Moses said, come back, come back. They said, no, look at your face, Moses. Look at your face, Moses. We can't stand it. We can't stand it. We can't stand it. Then Moses said, all right, all right, all right. And he got a veil and covered his face.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you.